Good afternoon, everybody. This is the Reverend Blake Ruby. Welcome to my Clash of the Soul's Evolution. What a beautiful day it is today. I got up early this morning because we had a Toastmasters meeting. It's called the District Executive Council meeting, and it lasted from about 9 o'clock to about 12. And both my wife and I participated in it. I don't know if you're familiar with what Toastmasters is. It's a public speaking organization, and we have clubs all around the world where we practice public speaking. And I've been a member since 1998. I took some years off in between there, then and now. But it has been something that I've cherished, something I need to help me practice my public speaking skills, because I've always been, I won't say always now, but in the past, I've been terribly shy on some occasions when I've had the chance in front of people. Have you ever felt that way yourself? Especially when we're younger, you know, I think in retrospect, around about the time when people go into puberty, it's a difficult time in their lives. And back then, we're discovering ourselves, trying to discover ourselves. And sometimes it doesn't always turn out in a positive way. Maybe that's not the right thing to say, but suffice it to say that over the years, until I would say when I joined the Army in 1982, I was born in 54. Then I started probably seriously working on my public speaking skills, because in the Army, you have to sometimes march and sing cadence and do it yourself. You take turns cadence when you're marching and running, or having formations and being in front and reporting in the morning for the platoon, you know, like all present accounted for, that kind of thing. And they put you on the spot occasionally, and also when you go for promotions, you have to appear before a board. So it's not what I would call the ultimate way of preparing oneself for being a better public speaker, but it definitely does help. And so then throughout the years when I was in the Army, like I said, in 1998, while I was still in the Army, I retired in 2004. I joined two clubs in Cleveland for 2 years up until 2000, and then I took 8 years off. And then I joined three clubs in 2008, one at my workplace, City of Virginia, another one called You Converse Masterfully, a Toastmasters club. And then also there was one called the Promise Speakers, not the Promise Keepers, but the Promise Speakers. And that was a small club, not that many members, that met Saturday morning at like 8 o'clock. And it was hard to get up that early. And that club eventually folded due to lack of membership. And then I moved from Alexandria, Virginia in 2010. And then for 2 years, I wasn't a member of a Toastmasters club until 2012. And then I joined the club at Fort Sam Houston called the Future Speakers on the Horizon. And then throughout the years, I joined two other clubs, one called Lead to Succeed, a club for women mainly, although they, because my wife is a member, and they've had male members before. Right now, currently, I'm the only male member, although we've been having some male guests recently. And then there's a club called Cheers that meets once a month. Lead to Succeed meets every week at Tuesdays at 6:30 to 7:30. That club that meets once a month, Cheers, is a club that goes around to all these different bars and wineries and distilleries. And usually meets Saturday afternoons. It's kind of fun. I don't drink, but there are some people that do. And when somebody finishes talking, if they have a speaking role, then they'll lift their glass and go, oh, cheers! And everyone else picks up their glass and clinks the other glasses, clink, 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 cheers! And it's more relaxed, laid back. But still, there's that challenge being in the club when you have to speak, you know, especially the club called Beyond Basics. That's the other club, my third club, because I was in a meeting this morning that's separate from being in a club. But Beyond Basics is a club that meets Saturday mornings. And Goldie wants to get out. Jackie, could you help her, please? Thank you. And Beyond Basics meets at 9:30 Saturday mornings. And the dog, one of our dogs is trying to get out of the room here. So I'm trying to navigate this. My wife and stepdaughter and grandchildren, two granddaughters, are going to the beach and they're getting ready to leave here in a minute. So my wife is competing with me for space here in the room. And comes in preparing herself. So bear with me, please. Anyway, Beyond Basics, imagine yourself being in a club at 9:30 in the morning, Saturday morning, and you're seated around the table with about 10 or 15 people, and then you have to get up and talk. For me, I've gotten used to it. I think I'm getting better. I'm actually improving, which is a good thing. And that's what Toastmasters is about. I would recommend it for anybody who wants to develop their public speaking skills. Also helpful if you want to improve your ability to speak in front of people is having your own radio show and being able to talk for 55 minutes. And sometimes you can have guests. It's one of the best things in my life, having my own radio show with BBS Radio. I've been doing it since 2017. Truly one of the best things I've done in my life. Also, there's two other things I can say that are probably the best thing I've done in my life, and that is being in a choir, a gospel choir at Lackland Air Force Base, is Freedom Chapel since 2012. And the songs that we sing every week are just never cease to amaze me. They never do. Just how beautiful and filled with wonderful words, words of worship and praise and adoration towards the Creator of the universe. And also, one of the best things I've done is sing for the Wounded Warriors from 2013 to 2020, just before the pandemic began. I would go down to the Warrior Support Center on Fort Sam Houston once a month. Usually at lunchtime, they would have these different organizations that would provide lunch, and I would coordinate with my POC and go down there, and I developed a repertoire of approximately 100 songs and more that I practice regularly to go down there and sing for the Wounded Warriors, songs that deal with God and love and nature to help them. You know, also maybe any situation they might have been going through, marital, songs of encouragement and for strength. And it, again, was one of the best things I've done. But unfortunately, when the soldiers, unfortunately for me, because I was no longer able to go down there, but when we pulled out of Afghanistan, which is, I guess you could say, fortunately, because then our soldiers were no longer at risk of being killed, and also Iraq, then the number of Wounded Warriors at the War and Family Support Center was greatly reduced, so that when I went back there, I was trying to start up again. This was just after the pandemic was waning, you know, going away. I went there and I talked with the woman who was in charge. The USO took over from whoever had been there before. I forget, I know my POC's name, but I forget who they represented. It might have been the Army Support Activity on Fort Sam Houston. Anyway, the USO took over and I went down there. It was like a ghost town. There weren't any soldiers walking around, but it was always a pleasant experience to go there And me and a company of wounded military members, some missing limbs, you know, arms, legs, others with other wounds or psychological things, you know, that they were dealing with. And it was always adorned in the decorations of the season, whatever the season was, all throughout the year, even something like Valentine's Day or Columbus Day, Halloween, you know, they had decorations throughout the building and outside. They even had snow put out there at Christmas time. And it was very well organized and well run by the people in charge. And I would go and set up my equipment and my karaoke equipment and just sing for an hour and a half. Taking a drink. And sometimes I would encourage people to join me, but people rarely did. They rarely did. So I've learned all these great songs. I'll practice them today. Because when you're a singer, you are able to exercise your mind. It's like a mind activity, remembering the words, the timing, the harmony. It's a really neat thing, and it is beneficial for your being. You know, not only are you exercising your lungs, but you're exercising your mind. And these songs, they're all relevant, the words, you know, that you speak, that you sing, they could impact people's lives for a good way. And when I go on cruises with my wife, we do our own thing. Although we try to stay together, we always have dinner together, but I go to karaoke sometimes by myself. Sometimes she joins me, but I've gone to so many karaoke sessions on cruise ships that hard to remember how many exactly, but there's always a lot of interest in karaoke, especially now they've improved their karaoke, whereas before they had microphones with cords, now they've got wireless microphones, they've got a larger screen in the background that people can sing along if they want to, and they've got the words up there, and they've got a larger repertoire of songs to choose from, and sometimes there'll be like 100 people in whatever lounge they put it in. You know, they change the lounges, but there's always a lot of seats, you know, a lot of seating capacity. And it's not uncommon to see people, more than 100 people there listening and cheering you on. You know, it's a kind of friendly, supportive environment. You have a lot of people starting out for the first time. Young children, you know, who have a lot of potential, but are just, you know, I've been doing it for so many years now. I first sang karaoke back in 1994 when I was stationed at the Presidio of San Francisco with the 6th Army. And I remember my first song was Song Sung Blue by Neil Diamond. Also, Hotel California was one of my first songs that I sang. And most of the people that I've seen at karaoke, and I say most because the accomplished singers, they don't usually have anything to prove. Although I like it because I'm a karaoke DJ, and I've done some karaoke DJing in the past. So I know how to encourage people, young people, when they're learning to cheer them on. And when they cheer me on too, that's fine. And it's a fun thing. And I was thinking when I retire, that's one thing I can do. That is be a karaoke DJ. Make good money, too, $50 an hour. My wife and I were living in this retirement community, 55-plus retirement community, back in 2017. And we had an apartment there for a year. And I used to set up my equipment and practice in the lounge they had there. And when word got around that I was a karaoke DJ, I started doing karaoke, and there was a lot of interest. And I would go there like maybe once or twice a month. And they would pay me, they started off paying me $50 an hour and then went down to $25 an hour. And then they would give me some tips too. So I could walk away with like $100 for one night of karaoke DJing. And it's, when I do retire one day, it's something I can do, along with some other things I've been thinking about. Anyway, so I've got all my songs that I practice. I've got a board outside in my patio. I've got my equipment that I set up, and I write down all these songs that I've been singing. Now I'm up to about 75 and keeping going. Songs that I have remembered, and I was going to say, like, when I do karaoke, I don't look at the monitor. I might sneak a glance at the monitor to make sure I'm on track, or if in the rare occasion I forget a word or two, I'll look down quickly, or if one of the songs is, hey, come on, one of the dogs is in here, one of the songs is a different kind, you know, a different brand, like Sun King, something I'm not familiar with in the music. And so the individual song, I might not be used to it, and so I got to be careful not to make a mistake, because when the music's different, you're used to practicing it one way, and then they play it another way. Hey, no. So we got this dog called Lenny, and he's a German short-haired pointer, and he's looking to get up on the bed. Hey, no. And we have another dog called Goldie. She's an American football terrier, and she kind of rules this room. She's a senior dog. Lenny's a puppy. We got him recently. We had a dog before. He died on the 5th of May, Mr. Beta. He was a dachshund Chihuahua mix, and he was my little friend. He slept on the bed with us, and he was a beautiful fellow, very intelligent, and we would play. We had a ball while he was alive for 10 plus years, and then he just got old. He had heart problems and lung problems. He used to cough a lot, and he would have these like heart attacks, so we kind of didn't know if they were epileptic seizures or heart attacks, but he'd squirm around and he'd be yelping in pain. Anyway, he passed away on the 5th of May. And then shortly thereafter, my wife was walking one of the dogs in a local dog park. And up comes Lenny, who was very thin and emaciated and ribs showing. And she brought him home, and he turned out to be quite an interesting dog. He was starving and dying of thirst out there. I don't think he could have survived much longer. So he's now one of the family. And we've got another dog called Sakura. Short hair. What's Sakura? Blue Fox Terrier. She's this Blue Fox Terrier. And she's old, too. She's a female. She's about 12, 13 years old, so Goldie and Shakira are getting old, probably got a few more years at the best, whereas Lenny, he's still a puppy. And anyway, let me change the subject here to YouTube videos. Now, if you're wanting to improve your spirituality, if you want to develop your spirituality, a good source of information that you can learn a lot from, that I've been learning a lot from, are YouTube videos on near-death experiences, and there's a ton of them, and they're all very interesting. One thing that is very worthy of consideration is just how similar they are in their experiences. You might say that people make these things up, you know. It sounds like, and there's a skeptics and critics say that, you know, some near-death experiences are the results of a body dying, you know, the neurons in the brain firing, whatever, creating hallucinations. But these people, they experience it just like they're in their bodies, you know, it's like a real, very real sensation. And these interactions that they have with spiritual beings are very real too, and they hear voices. And there's a lot that I could recommend, but I won't go into them right now. But suffice to say, if you put in the search engine there in YouTube, type in near-death experiences, you'll see hundreds and hundreds of videos by people who had, most of them are bona fide experiences. Some, I don't know if they're hoaxes or not. I've seen so many of them, I don't know if I believe. I should believe everybody. The point is, we have to believe each other. You know, that's one thing. We have a lack of trust in, and I have it too, in some people. Some of the things they say, we don't know are real. That's why you have all these skeptics that are saying, you know, someone dies and goes to heaven and meets God and Jesus and sees some of their deceased relatives and they come back. And it's hard to believe, you know. That's where we're going, where they went, and where some people have gone. And these YouTube videos are a great source of information. And developing yourself spiritually is what it's all about. I tell you the truth, that we are here on earth to develop ourselves spiritually. And when we pass on from this existence, and yes, we are existing right now. Are we living? Yes, we're living too, but we're also existing. When we pass on from this existence, there is a continuation, if you will, of life, but not as we know it, not as we can experience it now, because we're in our physical bodies and have been since we were born. Many, many years for some. Me, I'll be celebrating my 70th birthday next month, and God has graced me with this life. You know, there were many times in the past when I had some close calls. I'm sure you could talk about some as well. I'm going to take a drink. And another source of information on the internet and YouTube is something called Astral Legends TV, Astral, A-S-T-R-A-L, Legends TV. And I don't know where they got all their information from, but they talk about the different kinds of, and I've mentioned this on past radio shows, different kinds of extraterrestrials. Hold on, Lenny! In our Milky Way galaxy, and other galaxies, thank you. And humanoid, most of them, different colored skin, you know, eyes, height, width, different shapes and sizes, different levels of evolution, some very advanced technologically, all spiritually, most of them spiritually. And any species that are out there among the thousands that I know, I mean, I don't believe, I know. I've bridged the gap between belief and knowledge, my friend, and I know that they're out there. Have I seen any? No, but I've read so many books and heard from so many people. My logic just dictates to me that they are out there. Logic will help you in whatever you're trying to understand. You know, like, and I've said this before, all this life on Earth could happen by accident. Logically, it could happen by accident anywhere. So logic alone can reveal many truths that we before thought weren't real. But just by, with our intellect and logic and reasoning, we can find the answers that we seek to our questions. And as I've gotten older, because my mother, I suppose, when I was younger, she put me on that path, studying to be a mystic, going through transcendental meditation, getting a black belt in Taekwondo, reading books about near-death experiences, lots and lots of different books. And I wrote my own book called The Gray Brain and the Golden Soul. The soul is the brain of the spirit. Yes, we each have a spirit in our body, and the soul is the brain of the spirit. And we existed prior to being born in this world. And it is a very interesting read. I put it together kind of hastily. It's in the Amazon Kindle bookstore, 80 pages, full of spirituality. I talk about the extraterrestrials, different types of angels, the original creator spirit of the universe, the co-creator gods, our mother and father God in heaven, the sun being heaven. Each of us human beings here are indigenous to this solar system. There are different co-creator gods of all the different solar systems, depending on what kind of species. Let me rephrase that. The species that are there are indigenous to the atmospheres of their own planets and are born on that particular sun. Although some of us are old souls. Are you an old soul, my friend? A well-traveled soul around the universe, otherwise known as a mystic traveler, which means that you've got a lot of past lives underneath your belt. You could have been on the planet before you were born on Earth in another kind of extraterrestrial body. That's possible. Not necessarily human, but humanoid. You've got evolution going on throughout the entire universe. All the different species are here on Earth, all the insects, the fish, the mammals, the birds, the reptiles, amphibians are all going through evolution. Even our planet is evolving. And you'll find there's a lot of the same species elsewhere throughout the universe and other types of animal and plant life that we couldn't even imagine that are out there. The creator is a creator of bodies and planets. And with unlimited time on your hand, just imagine, because, you know, time does not exist outside the physical material realm. So there's an eternity to create new things going on all the time. And you better believe that the creator of the universe is an active creator all the time, creating new suns are being born as we speak. New solar systems are being formed. Planets are developing. Gases and rocks coalescing. Planets forming. Moons forming. Suns are being birthed all the time. Stellar nurseries. Like there's areas of the universe and galaxies mainly, I think, where suns are being born quite rapidly. And new solar systems, in reality, is what they are. And the borders of infinite space are continually expanding. Isn't that amazing? And in accordance with the creator of the universe's plan, the expansion of the universe and the different species that live throughout the universe, from the center of the universe all the way outward, past the spiral arm of the Milky Way galaxy we're on right now to the edges of infinite space. These species are helping the creator. The ascension life is helping the creator achieve that self-realization, that growth that he, she, because this is a male-female universe we're living in, desires. Growth. There's nothing greater than growth in the universe, my friends. Nothing. Just think of it. My wife and I went to a Greek restaurant last night. We sat down to order our food. And right next to us was a man and a woman with a baby in one of those baby cribs. And people were stopping by and looking at the baby and, you know, making very kind, loving gestures towards it. And I said to Jackie, I said, we were all babies at one time, you know. Just think of it. We were. All those years ago, you can't remember. That doesn't mean that you weren't a baby at one time, right? It's because you can't remember when I was 2 years old, living in Halifax, Nova Scotia, Canada. I talked with someone recently who said they remember when they were a baby in a high chair. So we have the potential to remember. Our brains were functioning. Our eyes were seeing. But we have other things that are more, we're more focused on, in other words, that we have to devote our time to throughout the years, like having a job, making money, raising our children. But we were all babies at one time. And think of the growth we've achieved. Speaking of growth, as a baby growing up, and then as a youth going to elementary school, and then a teenager, and then a young adult, and then getting into adulthood, and then finally becoming elderly, you know, all the changes that we go through, that growth is what Tor wants. Because when we do finally transition to the afterlife, then all that growth that we've achieved, all our experiences are assimilated into the ocean of the Creator Spirit, if you will, like a drop of water or more, but not much, because God's Spirit, the Creator Spirit, is like an ocean as far as the size of it, comparatively speaking, and that drop of water that we contribute contributes to the growth of the Supreme Creator of the universe. And part of the plan also is that there be co-creator gods of solar systems, because what is the matrix of our solar system? The sun. All the planets revolve around it, and they rotate on their axes too, but they revolve around the sun. And as spirits, we are in the material world. As spirits, we are made of light energy. And the source of light energy in our solar system is the sun. Now, not everybody will be pulled, and magnetism has a lot to do when we do enter the afterlife. I've read a lot about it. It happens quite frequently. There's a pulling, almost like a magnetic pulling of our spirits in one way. It could be down, depending on what we've done in our life, anything evil, you know, like murderers, rapists, sexual abusers, physical abusers, verbal, even verbal abusers, non-believers in God. There's a place called God's Jail, otherwise known as hell. And they can be pulled down. I read about it a lot. It happens to a lot of people. People talk about it. You better believe it happens. You better believe it's real. I know they were singing about, I've been watching the Olympic Games in Paris, and they were singing, this one lady was singing John Lennon's song, Imagine. And so John was saying, imagine no heaven above us, no hell below, above us only sky. But John was at a limited, as great as he was, as great a musician as he was, and enlightened as he was, I think, unfortunately, and his life was cut short, with all due respect to him, he was still not as evolved as he could have been if he had lived longer. Or to say those words made me think that his soul really wasn't as developed as other people's, if you know what I mean, by saying there's no heaven and no hell, or implying that. That's the message I got. I can tell you that there is a heaven, and we're all bound for there eventually, even if we have to take some detours to what I would best describe as rehabilitation of our soul and spirit. For example, if you were an alcoholic, or maybe you were a chain smoker, you won't be privy to all the benefits of the spiritual world when you get there. To be able to stand the brilliance and glory of the throne room, for example, unless you have been rehabilitated for a short while. And then, when everyone gets to heaven, then the learning continues, and there are other methods to achieve that level of spirituality, which will let you continue on towards the light. And that light, my friends, when you get into the throne room, what I've read and researched over the years. The spirit mother and father, their lights are so bright. Unless you're able to withstand their brilliance and glory, you won't be able to get close to them, and then you'll have to fall back and continue the spiritual development until you have achieved that level of spirituality, of evolution, where you can withstand the light. And one method of doing it is, like I said, learning, but also eating from eating the fruit from the trees of life, smelling the leaves, discussions, conversations with angels. So in other words, the learning continues there in heaven. And there's a great book I would recommend. I'm going to take a drink here. This book is available if you want to read it as a PDF version. I think only Google Chrome is what you can use to access it, nothing else. It's called The Paradise, the Holy City, and the Glory of the Throne. Paradise, the Holy City, and the Glory of the Throne by the Reverend Elwood Scott. And so you can pull up a PDF version, no charge. It's a very expensive book, actually, in the Amazon, if you buy it from Amazon. And it is the best book that I've ever read that will tell you about heaven. There is no better book. And please remember this. There's no better book that you can read to get you prepared when you go to heaven one day. And we'll all be going there, maybe eventually. Some people, like I said, might take a detour. You'd be pulled, like I mentioned, that magnet up towards the sun, up into the sky. You'd be flying. There's one of our songs, gospel songs, called Fly Away. One day I'm going to fly away. I forget how it goes exactly. Glory, glory, by and by, on that day when I die, I'll fly away, fly away. Some of us will be, depending on their level of spiritual development, their level of evolution. That's why it behooves all of us to use our time wisely. Tomorrow might not be here for us. The next second or two might not be here for us. And I can't say this enough. I've said it before on previous shows. It behooves us to take life seriously. Like Jimi Hendrix said in that song, All Along the Watchtower. This is the thing, that life is but a joke. But you and I, we've been through that. And this is not our fate, so let us not talk falsely now. The hour is getting late. Hey! And Jimi Hendrix, what a great musician. That's All Along the Watchtower. That's one of my songs, one of my 100-plus songs that I know. There must be some kind of way out of here, said the Joker to the thief. There's too much confusion. I can't get no relief. Businessman, they drink my wine. Plowman, dig my earth. None of them along the line know what any of it's worth. Hey! And so that's the first verse, and there's two other verses, which I know. And Jimmy, he was a tremendous guitarist. I go back and forth putting him, you know, number one or number two, number three. Eddie Van Halen, I met Eddie Van Halen and his brother Alex and David. Michael Anthony from Van Halen. Eddie Van Halen was totally awesome as well. Jimmy had a special thing with the guitar, though. I mean, he almost wore it. He slept with his guitar, you know. He used to use his teeth. That's one thing Eddie never did, play the guitar with his teeth or behind his back. Joe Satriani used to play it. He still does. He plays it that way. So my top five best guitarists of all time, or you, from Blake Ruby, the Reverend Blake Ruby. And don't get me wrong, please don't misunderstand me. I'm a rock and roller, if you didn't already know that. And I know some other songs, too, like I mentioned, songs about love and nature and God. But I was raised on rock and roll, you know, raised on radio, like Journey says in one song. And Jimmy is in my top five. because of the way he played. It was just so natural. Just, you know, the sound of it, it kind of gives you goosebumps. He plays it so well. It was like a part of him, you know. But Eddie Van Halen, he did some things with the guitar. He started that, you know, fingering the fret of his guitar with the other hand, you know, that rapid guitar picking, like with the song Eruption. I don't know if you've heard of it. But also another superb, incredible guitarist is Frank Marino, a Canadian, and just an amazing vocalist too. But the way he's able, the different songs, and the way he plays his guitar so well in coordination with his vocals, it totally amazes me. And I've put him as number one a few times. I mean, I go back and forth, but that's one thing. Eddie never really was a vocalist. And Jimmy, at first, wasn't that good of a singer. But then later on, he became a really good singer. But Frank Marino has been, and Jimmy was only on the scene for a few years, whereas Frank Marino grew up in the 70s, you know, doing concerts in front of thousands of people and just continually improving. I mean, and when you watch some of his videos on YouTube, like live at the Agori Theater, you can see just how amazing this man is. And who else would I put there in the top five? Well, those are my top three. Other than that, Joe Satriani, I think, would be my number four, because he is a totally awesome guitarist as well and does incredible things with his guitar. And he's been around a long time also. And he's not a vocalist. He's his guitar, and he does occasionally sing. There are some songs that he has that have vocals in them, but basically he's just a guitar player. But he does amazing, fabulous, superb things with his guitar. Really wonderful to listen to, you know. And let me think if I find a number five. Number five, maybe Jimmy Page. Jimmy Page is pretty awesome himself, you know, with all songs from Led Zeppelin. Led Zeppelin, they say, is one of the greatest rock and roll bands of all time. So definitely in my top 10. And Eric Clapton also, maybe him, I would put him, round off my top five with Eric Clapton. And you've got other really good guitarists like George Harrison from the Beatles. John Lennon was an excellent guitarist. You've got Metallica, Field, and the drummer's Lars Ulrich, and then there's, I forget his name, the lead guitarist from Metallica. Oh, it'll come to me. I forgot it. But then so many others. I've got a list of the top 50 guitarists. And Judas Priest, K.K. Downing, Richie Faulkner now took over K.K. Downing's place. Glenn Tipton, who was suffering from Parkinson's disease, God help him to heal, if that can be your will. Really super excellent guitarist. I'm going to take a drink. And the list goes on and on. Anyway, my wife is going away. She's going to the beach in Port Aransas, which is about a 2.5 hour drive, 2 hour, 15 minute drive. She's taking my stepdaughter and two granddaughters, and we're gonna have a little summer vacation, which we tried to help them out with every year around about this time. You know, our granddaughter Malia was 15, just turned 15. She'll be going to the 10th grade in high school, and so we're gonna get a little beach time. It's not much, I know, but we're financing it, and it's going to be about close to a $2,000 trip. Anyway, so the Olympics are going on, and I don't know if you're interested in that kind of thing. I love how they are getting together people from all over the world, beautiful people from different countries throughout this planet, you know, and I've been seeing them on television, and now I think Paris is 6 hours ahead, time-wise, and they've all gone for the night. But they'll be playing some replays. I was watching the swimming earlier, the different types of competitions for swimming, the breaststroke, the 400-meter relay, freestyle. Anyway, and the U.S. has won some medals already. We're competing. It looks like Australia's also got a lot of medals, and China, too. So everyone's doing off to a pretty good start. Maybe not every country in the world, but the U.S. is off to a pretty good start. And I'll be really interested to see the track and field when it comes. I don't even know when it's going to start. In particular, the 100-meter male and female both sprints, races, the 200-meter male and female, 400-meter, and the 800-meter, the mile. I'm not really interested in anything beyond that. The relays, I'm interested in that, although I will watch them, you know. I don't know too much about the longer races, but the shorter ones, like the 100-meter male and female, I know just about all of the participants, you know, from different countries around the world, Jamaica, besides the U.S., and Switzerland, and where else, Canada, Andre de Grasse of Canada, Jamaica, the women's female sprinters, Sharika Jackson, Cheyenne Fraser-Pryce, and Noah Lyles for the male USA sprint, 100-meter, 200-meter races. He's been doing really well. And Sharika Shakira for the female, 100-meter. She won't be in the 200-meter. But she is fast. She won the world championship last year. I think it was last fall. Anyway, so it's all going to be very exciting. And you can cheer on your favorite person. And it's always better to be there in person at wherever it's at, you know, in the stadium, so that you can actually be a part of the atmosphere. But I still like cheering on from television, you know. It's fun. I cheer on the other countries as well, because I'm interested in seeing not only the U.S. win, but other people. I can tell right away, usually, if the country has a better one race, swimming race, and the German swimmer was way ahead of everyone else, and so I was like cheering him on. I knew the U.S. swimmer wound up in last place, so I was cheering on the German, and so I could cheer on anybody, any other country, many countries around the world, and that's what's going on in my life. Also, I found out, let me tell you something, I'm always working on improving my physical activity. You know, what's the best way to train myself? I'm doing pretty good at almost 7 years old. I'll be 70 on the 9th of August. And I do a lot of running, sprinting mainly, and have been keeping it up throughout the years because I've got little health goals. I can go to the track like I did today. And when you hear me talking, this is like years of experience talking, because I first started running when I was in college back in the 70s, cross country. And then a few years later, I joined the Army. And of course, when you're in the Army, you're running all over the place. And culmination of my experience was when I was at the Presidio Monterey going to language school in 1992 for 1 year. I was the captain of the golf company. There was all these different companies, A, B, C, D, E, F, G, golf company, army companies, run team, we also had the Marines there on the Presidio. We would compete with everybody once a month for the Commander's Cup. And that was when I was 38 years old and I was in the best shape of my life. And my best two-mile time with a team of 11 other young men, the guide on bear in the front, me running on the outside in two rows of five, was 11:39. That was about 2.1 miles, actually. And during my 1 year when I was there, my team won the championship five times, second four times, so that's pretty good. And then in 2000, about 16 years, actually 18 years after I started my career with the Army, I got a profile for running where I didn't have to do the run anymore. I only had to do a 2.5 mile walk because I donated one of my kidneys to my son back in 1995. But not only that, but I found out that in 1997, I had some x-rays taken to my spine and found out that I had a fracture of my spine from a hyperextension injury when I was very young. And it misaligned my fourth and fifth lumbar vertebrae. So I got exempt from having to do first sit-ups and then push-ups and then the run. They wanted me to take anti-inflammatory drugs and keep on running, but I said, no, you know, I donated one of my kidneys, and he recently revealed I had a crack. I know what it was, what did it. I slipped on ice when I was very young, more than once. My feet came up and I came down and I put out my right elbow and it broke my fall and I felt a cracking in my neck and also my lower back. But I'm not trying to complain. I'm just saying it is what it is. And I won't dwell on that kind of thing, but I'm doing pretty good considering the circumstances. And I rarely talk about it, but I just thought I'd mention that. So I've got this excellent workout that I would recommend for anybody. In my opinion, the best surface to train on is the rubber track because of the impact. It all comes down to impact, whether it's walking or running. So rubber track beats the pavement, it beats concrete, it beats the dirt, it beats the treadmill. And however, when you're going around in circles, that could not allow rotation of the knees when you go around the curves. So you do it in the long run. I mean, when you're young, you can handle it. But when you get older, you get to notice all these little things in your body that tell you, oh, you know what? I just did that, ran 2 miles in the track, and it doesn't feel right, you know. So tweaking here and there, making changes, I found for my own self, and I recommend it, do the straightaway workout where you can just use it straightaway. You run down, and you come back. But I do more than that. This is what I do. This is the culmination of everything I've been working on to where I've got to now. And in my opinion, this is the best workout that I can do. And that is, I've got 1 minute. My friends out there, I'll continue next week. Thank you for listening. I hope you have an enjoyable rest of your evening and rest of your weekend. I'll talk to you later. I love you, and may the creator of the universe bless us all and help us in any way we need it. All of God's children, the creator loves all of us, every single one of us, all his children here on earth. I'll talk to you later. Bye-bye.